Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the Nevada State Treasurer, Zach Conine, joins us here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada is suffering because of reckless Washington spending. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto voted to allow hundreds of millions of dollars of COVID relief funds to be wasted on frivolous projects not in Nevada. A luxury resort in Florida, soccer stadium in New Jersey, skiing in Iowa, a poet in Connecticut, French operas in Washington, D.C. We need help in Nevada, not silly spending in other states. Tell Senator Cortez Masto to start voting against wasteful spending to stop inflation.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Zach Conine. He is the Nevada State Treasurer. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, you're always welcome. So we just have unbelievable amounts of money pouring into this state. How are we doing with it?
We're doing exceptional. So as of this morning, we have about $7.6 billion under direct management. That doesn't include, of course, the local government investment pool where we help local governments invest, or all of the college savings, hopes and dreams we have under management. In total, it's a little bit under $50 billion.
That's a stunning amount of money for a state the size of Nevada with a population of 3 million people.
It is.
Are you pleased with the way that things have worked out in terms of deciding where the spending is going?
You know, I am. I think we did in Nevada a unique process. We went through and didn't just say, let's go back to all the things we've already spent money on and dump more money into those programs. We did the most robust constituent engagement program the state's ever done, right? The governor and I did 123 events over 82 or so days, all of which you can see in my hairline. And we asked questions about where do Nevadans want to spend the money? What are their priorities? And you see those answers coming through in the governor's work since then. So $500 million in affordable housing, which adds to the $500 million that's coming both from the Board of Finance and from the state infrastructure bank relationships, more than $1 billion in affordable housing, hundreds of millions of dollars into childcare, money on bringing mental health and physical health professionals to the state. We listened, and then we did the work. And that's exactly how we should have gone through this process, right? It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so getting it right becomes deeply, deeply important.
Okay, so I presume, even though you're a Democrat, that you are fiscally conservative, because I would hope so as a state treasurer. Does it concern you about how much money is pouring in? Because this isn't free money. Even though it comes from the federal government, bottom line is it does come from the taxpayers. So do you have any concerns about that and the effect it'll have on our economy?
Well, I think what we are concerned about is making sure that we can build the Nevada we deserve. And every time we have a downturn, we realize that the state has not, for decades, invested the way it should on creating the social nets and the government programs that we all need in order to survive. And this gives us an opportunity to catch up, right, to build a new unemployment system, unlike the system that hadn't been invested in 20 years, to make sure that the state's IT is robust and able to defend against cyber attacks, to make sure that we have the sort of state that Nevada taxpayers are paying for. And here's the thing, the money that has come back to the state in the form of ARPA and everything else, it's our money.
Right.
So it's not that we're paying more for it, it's that usually those dollars go to other states. And finally, we're able to collect them and capture them and invest them in Nevada. So from a fiscal conservative perspective, I'm deeply happy when money goes back to Nevada as opposed to, say, Kansas, which is a nice state, but I'm not their treasurer.
Well, that's true. It's interesting times because as we go through, you know, is it a recession? Is it not a recession? As you look at it, how do you feel about that?
You know, I think there are 100 different ways to look at a recession. I think we're in a very strange time, right?
Can we just pick one or two?
We could pick one or two, but I'm not an economist. I'm an investor. And so I'm less concerned with labels and more concerned with how it affects day-to-day Nevadans. We know that inflation is a problem. We know that when gas prices were where they were a couple of months ago, it hurts people. But we've seen that recede. We've seen prices at the grocery store start to get better. And some of those are supply chain issues. Some of those are short-term recessionary and inflationary issues. Our focus is on what's next. How do we make sure that if there is a pullback on housing prices, which we're seeing, that we don't have the devastation that we saw during the Great Depression or during the Great Recession, and we don't see the impact to regular everyday Nevadans that we saw during the pandemic, right? Our goal isn't to change the massive economic forces of the world. That's not something in the control of anybody at the state level. Arguably, it's not in control of anyone at the federal level if you look at what is happening worldwide. Our goal is to make sure that those impacts hurt Nevadans less, right? That the ebbs and flows are less severe. And that's work that happens over time. That's work that happens through the diversification of the economy. We saw how much better Northern Nevada did over the last couple of years compared to Southern Nevada, just comparing this time period to the last time period where we had a pullback. And so our goal is to invest in the state so that those downturns and upturns are either less bad or more good.
Okay, so what do you do in Southern Nevada? Because in Northern Nevada, you're 100% correct. Even though the gaming industry still exists as it always has, but it's not, there are not so many mediocre players. I'm going to be kind and say that because they're all gone. They were gone, in, you know, even prior to the Great Recession. And now we have the tech industry, we have so many different industries, and there are industries that are nothing is recession-proof, but they're pretty darn close because you're always going to need things being delivered. You're always going to need data storage places. But in Southern Nevada, you know, at this point, you've got 150,000 rooms. You're going to have even more over the coming years. Diversification, to me, means a diversification of the tax base rather than, you know, if a recession hits, everything's going to be fine. It really isn't. You know, when you look at that, how do you figure, as an investor going forward, that you protect, you know, the workforce?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think one that we've moved closer to, right? So it's a bigger, we've moved the needle in Southern Nevada. It's a much bigger needle, right? And so the hospitality industry is an incredibly important part of the Southern Nevada and, frankly, the state of Nevada's economy. So our goal isn't to say we should have less hospitality, more other things. It's that we should have more other things. And the work that happened in Northern Nevada is work that's being repeated in Southern Nevada. Advanced manufacturing, logistics. We made sure when we put together the new version of the State Infrastructure Bank bill that we included things like inland ports, climate technology, water technologies, because those are technologies that are not just important for Southern Nevada in the short term, but also could be exports, right? Ways that we could bring in additional industry and dollars. You know, I was at kind of the reopening of Blackfire, which is the UNLV campus and technology.
Bo Bernhard, our friend.
Bo Bernhard, right? And they are doing amazing work there to bring new companies, and not just bring new companies into Nevada, not just poach, but actually self-germinate and create new opportunities. So we are moving that needle. It's a big needle. It's going to take time to move, but we're moving it.
Does it concern you when you read, you know, in the press, as we all did over the last 24 hours, the concerns of the Southern Nevada Water Authority with the arrangements along the Colorado River and the federal government's involvement? That's, to me, never a good thing.
Assuredly true, right? And we've had a water problem for a long time. I, you know, when we look at sort of investment threats to Nevada, our short-term existential threat is housing, our mid to long-term existential threat is water. In a lot of ways, they're connected, right? If you build the right type of housing with the right type of density, it creates less of a stress on the water sources for the area. It's going to be a problem for a while, but as John said down in Southern Nevada Water Authority, it's time to do something, and that's going to make some hard decisions or require some hard decisions.
You're very kind. I think it was a lot tougher than we got to do something. That was probably one of the strongest letters I've ever seen that he wrote to the Interior Department saying others need to do more. Am I right in saying, as I read through his letter and the information from the Department of Interior, that California basically isn't being asked to give up anything at this point?
You know, I'm going to let experts on the waterfront be experts on the waterfront. I'm the state's chief investor, but I do know that people like John are going to help us get to where we need to be, and that is the right sort of tone to be taken with this sort of crisis.
Tough days for the Colorado River. Let's take take a break, and we'll be right back with Zach Conine. He's the Nevada State Treasurer after this timeout.
Leaders find solutions. Politicians are part of the problem. Take Catherine Cortez Masto and Adam Laxalt. Cortez Masto co-sponsored a bill capping insulin costs. Adam Laxalt called a plan that caps costs reckless. No surprise, Laxalt is personally invested in big drug companies. When they make money, he makes money. That's the difference. Catherine Cortez Masto is lowering the cost of drugs. Adam Laxalt sells out and cashes in. S&P is responsible for the content of this ad.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Zach Conine. He's the Nevada State Treasurer, running for re-election, I should point out. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Your competitor in this race is Michelle Fiore. Any thoughts, any comments you want to make? And we have extended an invitation to her through her campaign to be on the program. She's been on many times. We have not received a response at this point, but we're hoping to have her on before the election.
You know, I don't have any comments about anyone else who's running for the treasurer's seat. I can only speak to what we've done, right? We've had some of the highest investment returns compared to benchmark. We've managed to get the portfolio as large as it's ever been. We've returned more money in unclaimed property than any other treasurer in the history of the state. We've borrowed money at the cheapest rate of any treasurer in the history of the state. We have the state's highest credit rating in the history of the state. We have objectively done a good job. I think that the Treasury requires competence, and I think the Treasury requires someone whose moral compass is beyond reproach. And I think we've been able to show that that's what we do, which is why we have support not just from Democrats, but from independents and from Republicans, because people know that the Treasury is about more than talking points. It's about more than quick email hits. It's about more than Hunter Biden. It's about the job.
Should it be a nonpartisan job?
It isn't. And so as an investor, I exist in the world of realities. If at some point it became a nonpartisan job, that'd be fine. 95% of what we do has absolutely nothing to do with party or politics. That's important, right? Because the objective nature of investing requires you to sometimes make decisions that maybe you wouldn't make, but are best for the people of Nevada. And when we do that job right, and I think this is important, when we do that job right, we need less in tax money to provide the services that the state needs to provide, right? The Treasury makes money for the state every year. One of the few government agencies that can say that.
Are you willing to debate Michelle Fiore if she chooses to accept a debate?
I'd be happy to have that conversation. It is interesting to wonder what we would talk about when it comes to qualifications and competence, but
you would be at least willing to have the conversation.
I would at least be willing
to potentially have a debate.
Yes, sir.
And we would love to have that right here on Nevada Newsmakers. Education. Obviously, education got a giant boost from the mining industry. To say the least, it was a controversial deal, but it came through. But you know that education is going to come back to the next legislative session and ask for another $1 billion. How do you feel about that? Is that realistic in the economy that we're looking at going forward? When you consider that the state is going through this incredible boom on so many levels.
And we see revenues not just from the federal government in the form of ARPA and the other federal dollars that came in during the pandemic, but we are seeing almost every tax lever up much more than expectations, right? Property tax continues to collect it the way that we expected. Gaming is going through an amazing resurgence, which, you know, for the first couple of months, I think everyone was wondering, is it the catch-up, right? The people who couldn't go, that sort of revenge trip after
revenge
after
trip, okay.
Yeah, this is a
fair enough.
Is it sustainable? And it appears to be sustainable. You know, I was talking to a gaming executive yesterday who said that most of their business is still coming domestically.
Right.
Which means we have an entire rest of the planet.
And convention business still has yet to return full strength.
Right, and we're starting to see that come back. But of course, given the booking window, right, we have a bit of time, and as I'm sure you remember, coming from the gaming industry, right, and running properties like that, we know that, you know, that starts as a trickle and then becomes a roar. All of those revenues are there, which means that we're going to go into the next legislative session with a fair amount of general fund revenue that wasn't available for us during the last legislative session. I think the work to do on education is to continue making sure that the dollars get to where they need to get, that they get in the hands of the teachers, that they make their way to the classroom, right? That they don't hit the administrative level and somehow disperse and not be seen in the hands of the people who are actually doing the work. You know, I don't know if I ever told you this. My mom was an English teacher for years, and then after she had me, she started teaching GED, right? So she was helping in New York people who just hadn't gotten through the process to get their high school diplomas, one by one, dragging them across the finish line, making sure that they could make a better life for themselves and their families. Teachers are heroes. And so whatever we can do to make sure that they have the resources we need to figure out.
Okay, but you know they're going to turn around and say, we need another $1 billion. And how realistic is that?
I think $1 billion is probably going to be more money than the state has, but that doesn't mean we can't find anything. And finding those dollars is often the form of a compromise, and that's the work that we've been able to do in the Treasury, right? You know, that mining tax deal required agreements and partnerships and trust between Republicans we were able to work with, like Senator Kefauver, right, who on a handshake helped us get that deal done, and then we followed through with what we needed to do. And I think that's the type of solutions that Nevadans need.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with the state treasurer, Zach Conine, after this timeout.
Nevada is suffering because of reckless Washington spending. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto voted to allow hundreds of millions of dollars of COVID relief funds to be wasted on frivolous projects not in Nevada.
a luxury resort in Florida, soccer stadium in New Jersey, skiing in Iowa, a poet in Connecticut, French operas in Washington, D.C. We need help in Nevada, not silly spending in other states. Tell Senator Cortez Masto to start voting against wasteful spending to stop inflation.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Minden with Joey Whitaker. And you've got a lot of convention space and meeting breakout space for people. Tell us about what's available.
Well, we can handle a group up to about 250 and anywhere as small as 10 or 15. So it really depends on what you're looking for, what the customer's looking for. We're open to anything. It's a beautiful drive. And if you live in South Reno, it's probably about 30, 35 minutes. So it's real easy to get to. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Zach Conine, who is the Nevada State Treasurer. So, a word for investors, people who are at home right now, looking at their portfolios and the stock market each day, and just shaking their heads. Friends of mine who are hiding under the bed because they don't want to look at the news or read the newspaper to see where their stocks are. What do you say to them?
Well, two things. One, if you're not in like an institutional or professional investor, don't look at your portfolio each day. It's akin to looking at the value of your home on Zillow each day. It's information that you have, but information you shouldn't act on and really can't act on a day-to-day basis, right? The typical Nevadan is not going to find any additional returns by day trading their portfolio in and out of the position. This is a good time to think about keep calm and carry on, right? Investments are long-term decisions. And you want to make long-term plans. If you're invested in something where you're worried the next day it could go down by half or go to zero, you should be invested in something else, right? And the work we do, you know, we invest in boring stuff in the in the state treasury, right? That $7.6 or so billion dollars is invested in primarily fixed income, things that have relatively low risk, exceptionally low risk, and relatively low return. And that's a choice that we made and also one that was made for us in the Constitution. So we invest in a different way, I think, than most folks. But when I invested back in the day before I stopped touching my portfolio, when I moved into office, you look for companies and investments that you feel comfortable with over the time. You want diversification of assets. But the other thing is you want to understand your time horizon. You know, when we have college savings assets, those investments are made more in equities when that child is younger, farther away from school, more in bonds and fixed income when they get closer to school because those things have less risk and you don't want, you know, the ups and downs of the portfolio. But just be calm.
Rainy Day Fund, are we to the max yet of where we were before, or are we still heading there?
We will be at the max of where we should be before in the next couple of months when the next transfer gets made. I am exceptionally grateful to the legislature and to the governor for making sure that we were able to protect the Rainy Day Fund during the last legislative session and make sure that we didn't make changes that would stop it from getting filled back up along the way. Look, the Rainy Day Fund is a big piece of why the state has its highest credit rating ever. It's a big piece of why we were able to get through the first couple of weeks and months of the pandemic without greater catastrophe and greater pullback. The Rainy Day Fund is an exceptionally important thing, and I'm glad to see that it's back to about where it was and soon will be higher than it was.
I was going to say, where would you actually really like it to see?
That's a great question, and there's a lot of different science around where you want that rainy day fund to be. I think when we make about two more transfers, which will move it over $500 million, that's a pretty good place for it. There are some statutory caps. There's some ways that money comes back from the rainy day fund back into the general fund if that number gets too big as a percentage of the budget. But we're getting to about where we need to be. It's great.
Yeah, because it always seems that, you know, even though we have a substantial rainy day fund, when there's a problem, you know, whether it's COVID or whether it's the Great Recession, it never seems to be enough, and it seems to disappear too quickly.
Well, I think you have a rainy day fund. The point is to use it when you need it, right? But the other point is to not have so much money in the rainy day fund that you're missing out on the investments that you need to make today. That's the balancing act that they put in place when they put in the rainy day fund in the first place. That's the balancing act that every other state needs to get through. The point of the rainy day fund isn't when there is a economic downturn that nobody notices it. It's that we're able to, again, smooth out that curve a little bit to make sure that the bad days aren't worse days. And that rainy day fund, that 400 and change that was in it before the pandemic, kept us from having to make even more drastic cuts in things that we all need and love. And so again, it's not to make everything good, it's to make everything better.
And that's where we have to leave it. We look forward to you coming back, hopefully for a debate. I'm crossing my fingers for those on the radio. Good luck on the campaign trail.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, and we'll be right back.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also check our archive going back to 2005 on our website, again, NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next show.